The Escape, written by David Baldacci, read by Ron McClarty and Orla Cassidy. In memory of Kate Bailey and Ruth Rockhold, you will be greatly missed. Chapter 1. The prison looked more like the campus of a community college than a place where men were kept in cells for 10 years or longer for offenses committed while wearing the uniform of their country. There were no guard towers, but there were two staggered 12-foot-tall security fences, armed patrols, and enough surveillance cameras to keep an electronic eye on virtually every millimeter of the place. Situated at the northern end of Fort Leavenworth, the United States Disciplinary Barracks sat next to the Missouri River on nearly 40 rolling forested Kansas acres. A mound of brick and razor wire, cradled by a green hand. It was the only maximum security military prison for males in the country. America's foremost military prison was called the USDB, or the DB for short. The Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary for Civilians, one of three prisons on the grounds of Fort Leavenworth, was 4 miles to the south. Along with the Joint Regional Correctional Facility, also for military prisoners, there was a fourth privately operated prison in Leavenworth, which raised the total inmate population among the four prisons to about 5,000. The Leavenworth Tourism Bureau, apparently seeking to capitalize on any bit of notoriety to lure visitors to the area, had incorporated the prison angle into its promotional brochures with the phrase, "Doing time in Leavenworth." Federal dollars rolled through this part of Kansas and jumped the border into Missouri like a flood of green paper locusts, boosting the local economy and filling the coffers of businesses that provided the soldiers with smoked ribs, cold beer, fast cars, cheap hookers, and pretty much everything in between. Inside the DB were about 450 prisoners. Inmates were housed in a series of escape-proof pods, including a special housing unit, or SHU. The majority of inmates were here for sex-based crimes. They were mostly young, and their sentences were long. Approximately 10 prisoners were kept in solitary confinement at any one time, while the remaining inmates were housed in the general population. There were no bars on the doors. They were just solid metal, with a slot at the bottom for food trays to be shoved through. This also allowed for shackles to be fitted like a new pair of iron shoes when a prisoner needed to be transported somewhere. Unlike at some other state or federal penitentiaries around the country, discipline and respect were demanded here and given. There were no power struggles between the incarcerated and their watchers. There was the rule of military law, and the primary responses from those being held here were "yes, sir," closely followed by "no, sir." The DB had a death row on which currently sat a half dozen convicted murderers, including the Fort Hood killer. It also had an execution chamber. Whether any of the death row inmates would ever see the lethal injection needle would be something only the lawyers and judges could determine, probably years and millions of dollars in legal fees from now. Day had long since passed the night, and the lights from a civilian Piper plane lifting off from the nearby Sherman airfield were almost the only evidence of activity. It was quiet now, but a violent storm front that had been on the radar for a while was howling in from the north. Another system that had sprung up in Texas was barreling toward the Midwest like a brakeless freight train. It would soon meet its northern counterpart, with devastating results. The entire area was already hunkering down in anticipation. When the two rampaging fronts met 3 hours later, the result was a storm of shattering proportions, with jagged lightning slicing sideways across the sky, rain bucketing down, and winds that seemed to have no limit to their strength or reach. The power lines went first, snapped like string by tumbling trees. Then down came the phone lines. After that,